How bad will unemployment look this morning?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The markets are anxiously awaiting the U.S. unemployment figures coming out in an hour or so. Economists say job losses probably slowed last month, but there's more to the story. Marketplace's Amy Scott joins us live. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
What are we expecting to hear this morning?
Well, economists are guessing that employers cut around 130,000 jobs last month. Still plenty, but it would be the smallest decline since July of last year. Still, they say the unemployment rate likely held at 10.2% and could keep climbing into next year.
And what about that job summit at the White House yesterday? Anything interesting?
Well, President Obama suggested that we might see some kind of cash for clunkers style program that encourages people to make their homes more energy efficient. That would put, you know, contractors and construction workers back on the job. And so it's being called cash for caulkers. Mm-hmm. President Obama is expected to offer some more specific suggestions in a speech on the economy next week.
And what about this talk of paying for any jobs programs with repaid bank bailout money, the TARP money?
Yeah, well, we heard more about that yesterday from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. She says Congress should use the money left over to pay for new infrastructure and to save public sector jobs. The Republican leadership, though, would prefer to use the money to bring down the deficit and called it a bad idea.
I see. Okay, Marketplace's Amy Scott there with us live. Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
And as we said, investors are waiting for that unemployment report. They seem wary. European markets are down about 0.5% this morning. Asian markets were mixed on the day. On Wall Street yesterday, a snapshot of the U.S. service sector came in kind of weak, and the Dow slid 86 points, closed at 10,366. Thousands of GM and Chrysler dealers might get a second shot at survival. The two companies have agreed to reconsider their decision to close those dealerships. It's actually part of a compromise to stop federal legislation that would force the companies to keep showrooms open. Meantime, Saab dealers may be wondering about their survival, too. GM has been trying to sell its Swedish unit, and when a deal to sell Saab fell apart last week, it got us wondering, who would buy a Saab? We asked Marketplace's Elisa Roth to find out.
There are 10 2009 Saabs on the lot at Kelly Cadillac Saab in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Jeff Kelly is the general manager there. He says he still has customers.
We've talked to a couple people in the past week about buying Saabs, and you can't give anybody an honest answer about what the future of Saab's going to be.
He says he can imagine a diehard Saab driver might consider buying. He started a website called Save Our Saabs to convince GM not to kill off the brand. Drivers have written in declaring their passion for Saabs, insisting they're the most reliable cars around.
But, I mean, with all the uncertainty about the future, I mean, it's a difficult decision for somebody to make to spend, you know, $25,000, $30,000, $35,000 to buy a vehicle when the manufacturer may not exist in a couple weeks.
To help convince the wary, Kelly's dropped the price on one of the cars from $33,000 to $25,000. But he's not sure the discount's big enough to make up for not knowing. Because it's not just the car company that would go away. He says some servicers are already refusing to do warranty work because they're afraid of not getting paid. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. And by Bank of America, which has begun a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
In a few days now, world leaders will meet in Copenhagen to talk climate change. Trying to figure out what the climate will be like decades from now, that's not easy. So for help, British scientists are looking to the past. Marketplace's Christopher Worth has that.
At the UK's National Archives in London, Dennis Wheeler slowly flips through the yellowed pages of a logbook kept by one of Britain's most famous seafarers, the 18th century explorer, Captain James Cook.
On a voyage round the world, performed in the years 1768, 69, 1771. Okay. God, I hope we turned the gas off before we went.
But Wheeler is no historian. He's a climatologist at the University of Sunderland who's leading a project to digitize about 250 years' worth of British Navy logbooks. Wheeler says sea captains like Cook kept detailed records of weather conditions, things like wind direction and air temperature. The logs are a wealth of information about what the climate was like before the Industrial Revolution. Wheeler says he gets one question from people all the time.
Why on earth look at the data of the past? Because what we need to know about is what it's going to be like in 20, 50, or 100 years' time.
His answer has to do with computer models that climatologists use to predict future climate change. Those models can also be used to simulate what happened in the past as a way to test if their projections are reliable. So now scientists will be able to compare their simulations of the 18th and 19th centuries to the actual weather data in the logbooks. Rob Allen heads one of the largest historical databases on climate at the UK's National Weather Service.
That's one check to say, can your models reproduce what we are seeing as appears to actually happen in the climate system? If you can do that, you can feel more confident about using those models to project into the future.
Allen says historical information about storms and floods can be added to the mix, allowing climatologists to better predict similar conditions going forward. And that's valuable to everyone from farmers to insurance companies.
So it's only by, rather bizarrely, only by looking back that we can actually look forward.
Wheeler says there are 120,000 logbooks that date back before 1850, including books from the HMS Beagle, the ship that ferried Charles Darwin to the Galapagos. And once they're digitized, climatologists from all over the world can get their hands on them. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, have you seen the DirecTV commercial starring King Kong and his movie co-star Naomi Watts?
Only he were more evolved.
Then he'd switch from cable to DirecTV and get 5 months of their best TV package for free.
Yeah, trouble is, King Kong belongs to Universal Pictures, and it looks like Universal is being bought by DirecTV's direct rival, Comcast. I know 'twas beauty killed the beast, but 'tis an acquisition might kill that ad. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.